We're going to see, first of all, that through his death, sin and thus separation from God has been conquered. That when Jesus died, God tore the veil in the temple from top to bottom, signifying the barrier between God and man had been broken through the death of Christ.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the results of Christ's death on the cross were immediate and shocking. It must have been a frightening time in Jerusalem that day.
You know, Dave, the scriptures tell us that at the point of Jesus' death that many supernatural phenomena occurred. So what actually happened at the moment of his death? Let's take a look. Our passage is Matthew chapter 27, and we'll be looking at verses 51 through 54.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We know that God, being rich in his grace and mercy because of his great love, Ephesians 2, verse 4, which he loved us even while we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. We know that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. But not only does the Father love us enough to send his only Son to pay the penalty, Christ loves us enough to have come and died for our sins. John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, therefore, we should be walking in forgiveness because of Christ forgiving us, Ephesians 4 in the end. Then he says, therefore, Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma. And the Apostle Paul, in that same book of the Ephesians, in his prayer, wants us to know that which is not comprehensible, but that we would comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Why would Christ bear our sins in his body on the cross? Why would the perfect, holy Son of God, who had never been separated from the Father from all eternity past, why would he allow himself? Because he loves us. What a gracious, wonderful, kind God. He would not allow you to stay in your sins. He's a gracious God. He is a holy God. There is a barrier between God and man, and that barrier is sin, as we'll see. But yet Jesus Christ brought forth and broke the barrier. So with that in mind, let's look at our passage today. Verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and all the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Here we have the realities of what happened when God the Son died for our sins, when he gave his life, when he expired on the cross, when he yielded his spirit to the Father. As he told the thief, as we see in the other Gospels, today you will be with me in paradise. As he died for our sins. And with this, we have some miraculous things that the Lord God does to symbolically show us what Christ's death brought about. We're going to see, first of all, that through his death, sin and thus separation from God has been conquered. That when Jesus died, God tore the veil in the temple from top to bottom, signifying the barrier between God and man had been broken through the death of Christ. Verse 51, or actually back to 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He died. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now remember, Jesus was bearing the sin of the world between noon and 3 p.m. And the sun had ceased. They had seen the miraculous sign, these soldiers around, while Jesus was bearing the full wrath of God. And now immediately as Jesus died, we have another miraculous sign. Immediately. And notice the term, and behold. Matthew wants us to look. Look at this. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Another miraculous sign that we as the readers are to behold. Now the temple spoken of here had a series of courts. And then there was the temple building itself. And that consisted of two places. There was the holy place, which had a table with the showbread and a large lampstand. And there was a smaller place called the Holy of Holies, or the Most Holy Place. And separating these two places was a veil. Now the priests would minister on a daily basis in the holy place, but only the high priest on the Day of Atonement would go through the veil into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the sacrifice to atone for the people's sin. Now God had originally given instructions concerning the tabernacle in the wilderness in the law of Moses. In Exodus 26, he made it clear that they were to make a veil to partition between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And they were to put the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Testimony, and the mercy seat on top. Exodus 26, 31 to 34. And in Leviticus chapter 16, we have instructions for the Day of Atonement. On this day, once a year, the priest would slaughter a sin offering and bring the blood within the veil and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. We know this symbolically revealing the atonement through Christ's shed blood for us, as we will see. Now, when Solomon built the temple, he also made a veil, 2 Chronicles 3:14. And we know that the rebuilt temple was destroyed when the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem, but yet it was rebuilt, as we know, from Haggai and Zechariah. But yet, it was even refurbished even further by Herod the Great. And at the time of the Jews, when Jesus died, that veil that separated the most holy place from the holy place was 60 feet high, 4 inches thick, and about 30 feet wide. This was a big curtain. Now in Hebrews chapter 9, if you turn there with me, we have a description of these old covenant regulations in the sanctuary. Let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 9. But these old covenant regulations symbolize and foreshadow what Christ would do. Hebrews chapter 9. In the book of Hebrews, the superiority of Christ is being proclaimed. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, even in the first covenant, that's the one that was at Sinai, had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one in which there was the lampstand and the table for the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle which was called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which had budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of all these things, we cannot speak now in detail. Now, when these things have been thus prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and the sins of the people committed in ignorance. We're going to see that this veil represents what Christ did. And if you understand the Old Testament symbolism, the veil represented a barrier between a holy God and the people. And they could not go past the veil except the high priest once a year. And he could not go in unless he had blood of a sacrifice. The veil represented separation between a holy God and sinful men. And symbolically, it was when the sins were atoned and the blood was brought forth, he could enter on one day the Holy of Holies. But that was only symbolic. And what Matthew, Mark, and Luke all want us to understand is that when Jesus Christ died for our sins, the veil that separated man from God was torn in two from top to bottom. We see in our passage it was torn from the top to the bottom. That is a divine miracle. Look back at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 8 to 12. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they only relate to food and drink and various washings and regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. But look at verse 11 here. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made of hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of bulls, goats, and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He entered into the real presence of the Father through his shed blood on our behalf, and having obtained eternal redemption. Christ, through his own blood, paid the penalty for sins, and he was able to enter in for us, on behalf of us, the Holy of Holies. And again, look at Hebrews chapter 10 a little farther. Chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, saying, after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and upon their mind I will write them. He says then, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. And then verse 18 of Hebrews 10. Now where there is forgiveness of sins, there is no longer any offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So then, when Jesus Christ died, God miraculously tore the earthly veil, which is a representation of the reality of the heavenly. He tore it from top to bottom, symbolizing that through the death of Christ, sinful man now has access to the living God. You see, the wages of sin is death. Isaiah 59, sins have caused a separation between you and your God. The wages of sin is death. But the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, through giving himself for us, bearing the penalty, tore the veil. We now, through Christ, have, by faith in Christ, have access to the living God. And friend, your sin has separated you from the living God. That's what's called spiritual death. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you do, God does not listen to you because there is sin. And actually, your worship is an abomination to him, we see in Proverbs. God doesn't hear you because you're in your sin. And eventually, you will die physically and be separated forever from God in the lake of fire because of your sin. No matter what you do, what you think, God does not hear you. No matter how religious you are, no matter what rituals you do, your sin is in the way. And if you die in your sins, you will experience the second death. But God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus. And he allowed him to be delivered up and bear our sins in his body on the cross in our place. And when he died, the barrier between God and man, which was sin, was taken care of. Because he brought forgiveness of sins. And through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you can have a relationship with the living God forever. If you're willing to acknowledge your sinfulness, you're willing to acknowledge God's holiness and right to judge, if you believe that Jesus Christ did die for your sins, that he paid the full penalty, that he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, if you cry out to him, he will save you, and you will have open access to the living God forever. You will have your sins purified. You will be redeemed. And brother and sister, don't forget, Christ has taken care of sin. He has taken care of sin. Our sins are as far as the east is the west, Psalm 103. We can boldly come before the throne of God, a holy God, the holy of holies, because of Christ. Because of Christ. We can enter the presence of the living God through the context of prayer. Because Christ has paved the way. The veil was torn from top to bottom. It was God who did it, top to bottom, not man. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only provision for what blocks you from God, which is your sin. He is the only provision. And God, in a miraculous fashion, demonstrates symbolically and physically when Jesus died by tearing the veil in two, that the barrier has been broken because of the death of Christ. Now, an interesting note on the side was it was about 3 p.m. that this happened. And at this time, the priests would be doing their daily ministering in the outer area, in the holy place, not the Holy of Holies. And we don't know what happened, but certainly they must have seen this veil, this huge veil being torn in two. We have no idea what the effect on them was, but we do know after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 6, we see in verse 7, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. God, in symbolic fashion, through the death of Christ, wants us to know the barrier has been broken. Christ has taken down the sin barrier. Where are you at today? Do you realize what Christ has done? Are you trying to be right before God by doing things? It won't work. It's an abomination to God because only Christ broke the barrier, and he did it by dying for our sins. So then the Lord symbolically, miraculously tore the veil. He actually physically tore it from top to bottom, the symbolism of the barrier between God and man broken through the death of Christ. And Matthew says, behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And notice what else happens. Verse 51, we'll see that through his death he conquered death. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now this term, and behold, is really grammatically linked to every one of those ands. Behold the veil, behold the earth shook, behold the rocks were split, behold the tombs were open. Matthew wants us to see this, inspired by the Spirit. God wants us to see the results of what happened when Jesus Christ died. And God has given us this miraculous symbolism with the veil being torn of what happened in the spiritual sphere through Jesus Christ. And now we see here, he says, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and tombs were opened. Immediately when Jesus Christ died, there was also an earthquake. Rocks were split, the word says, and tombs were opened. Now we don't, the Jews didn't bury people like we bury today. We dig holes in the ground and put people in the ground. They would hewn out tombs in rock formations. They would put people in and put a stone in front of that. And here it says, the earth shook, that's an earthquake. The rocks were split, and the tombs were open. And you might say that seems to be a natural occurrence because we have earthquakes now, and certainly it's a natural occurrence from maybe our perspective, but everything that happens, God is in control of. But we're going to see there's more than just that. There is the miraculous because many dead saints were raised. Look here again, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. This is a miracle in direct correlation to the death, and as we'll see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. We have a miracle directly related to the death of Christ that we are to behold. Behold, the veil's torn from top to bottom. Behold, the earth shook. The rocks were split. The tombs were opened. And then we see that dead saints were raised. He says, many of the body of the saints. That just means the holy. You see, when you trust in Christ, and before Christ had died, they trust in the promises and the truth concerning the living God of the Redeemer who would die for their sins. By faith, they were declared righteous and holy. We see just as Abraham was declared righteous by faith. These were believers. And we see that their tombs were opened and that they were raised from the dead and came out of the tombs. But notice this phrase, after his resurrection, they entered the city and appeared to many. Now, there are differing views on this passage. Some believe that the dead were raised immediately when Christ died, when the tombs were open, and then they kind of stayed hidden, and then they appeared when Jesus rose from the dead. And I think that's possible, but grammatically, I think what happened here was the earth shook, the tombs were opened, and then on the third day when Christ was raised, they were raised too, and they came out of the tombs and appeared to many. They entered the city. It's my belief that that's what happened because the resurrection is associated with his resurrection throughout the Word of God. And I think grammatically that is what is being said here.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, the moments and days following Jesus' death were filled with events that would cause anyone to stop and wonder what was going on. Why didn't we see a mass conversion to faith in Christ?
You know, David, it would seem obvious that those events surrounding the death of Christ on the cross would be associated with that death. But sadly, the people of Jerusalem likely paused for a brief time and then carried on as if nothing had happened. And don't we do the same thing at times? Oh, we may not be faced with earthquakes and a total eclipse of the sun, but we have the entire revealed word in our hands, and we dismiss it like it was yesterday's news. We hear the truth proclaimed, and then we turn to read the latest sports scores or whatever it might be. And the tragedy of all tragedies is this, that no one knows when we will experience the last opportunity to accept the free gift of the gospel. And now, my friend, if you do not turn and repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Savior before you die, there will be no second chance. Now, if you've never taken the step of faith in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. And I pray that you would turn from your sins to Jesus Christ, accept his free gift of salvation, and be saved. We have a gracious God, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question: has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.